those were not easy readings. There were about 100 words in one sentence in your reading. It is the king of compound complex sentences. And you read that so that all of us could understand. That's a remarkable gift, and you're the same way. I mean, in that very, very long reading from the opening of the Acts of the Apostles, it's a page long, and there are basically three sentences there. So you did very well. You did very well. When an author writes a short story, or writes a novel, or writes a play, the author has a development in mind, a storyline that is to run through that short story or that play. And sometimes very early in the story, sometimes in the very beginning of the story, the author will write something that, as I read it or as you read it, may not seem to be very important. And then the story unfolds. And then very often at the very end of the story or the novel or the play, something that was said at the very beginning is said again at the end. And then all of a sudden it clicks. This is the thread that holds it all together. This is the theme that makes it all work. This is the message that I'm meant to get. Well, the author does that deliberately. Now, it's not only contemporary authors who do that, or contemporary novelists, but ancient authors did the same thing. And the authors of the scriptures did the same thing. And St. Matthew, when he wrote his gospel, did the same thing. When you open up St. Matthew's gospel, the first thing you see is a long list of the family tree of Jesus. But once that long list of the family tree is done, then the author says to us, now this is how the birth of the Messiah came about. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, a just man from the house of David, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child. Joseph was a just man, and so he sought to divorce her privately, lest she be held up to ridicule. And as he had determined to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and the angel said to him, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child that she has conceived is a child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. The virgin shall give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us. That's the way the story begins. And the most important part of the story is that he is to be named God is with us. 28 chapters later, the story ends. And in the meantime, there are many teachings and many miracles and many stories that seek to instruct us. And the last words of that gospel, the last words that Matthew wrote, were the words that Jesus spoke. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have taught you. And this above all, remember, I am with you all days even to the end of time. Well, that's the way it started. It started by saying that he would be God with us. And it ends by him saying, I'll be with you always. And then it dawns on us. All those deeds, all those words, all those miracles, all those stories were meant to teach us how God is with us. And that's the only reason Matthew wrote his gospel, was to tell us that God is with us, that you are never, ever alone, that on good days and on bad days, in success and in struggle, you never, ever, ever stand alone. God is with you. Sometimes in the evening I watch movies. You order them through Netflix, you know, and you watch them and then you put them back in the mail. Well, the Canadian Broadcasting Company puts out some wonderful things. Wonderful, wonderful things. And right now I'm watching a series that is called The Little Mosque on the Prairie. And it's a story of a Muslim community that has come to the prairie, Canada, and how they integrate themselves, how they connect with the Canadian community, the non-Muslim community, the Christian community. And there's an imam, a leader of that Muslim community, the one who preaches in the mosque. He's a young man. He's a very bright young man. He used to be a lawyer in Montreal, and he left the practice of law, and he became the imam. And he wants to live a really strong religious life. And he knows that he has to pray 5 times a day to do that. That every good Muslim is expected to pray 5 times a day. And every time he tries to do that, he gets interrupted. Somebody wants to see him, or the telephone rings, or somebody's at the front door. And as hard as he tries, he can never get through his prayers. And he's very frustrated. And an old member of the community came to him and he expressed his frustration to this old man. And the old man said, you really don't understand what spirituality is about. Spirituality is not only about the prayers. Spirituality is finding God in every single interruption that takes place in your life. Spirituality is about seeing God in every circumstance, acknowledging God in every circumstance. When things are wonderful, to see the hand of God there. When things are very difficult, to see God standing with you there. When things are just ordinary and dull, to recognize God is present there. And God is not present to make bad things good or to make weak things strong. That's not why God is present. God is present so that you will never be alone. That you will never, ever, ever have to live one single moment of your life alone. You have learned over the past years that as a group, as a class, there are many, many differences among you. There are no two of you that are in any way the same. And you've also learned that your strengths and your weaknesses are different, and they're your own. And you've learned that each of you has been given an opportunity to grow as the best that you are, the best that you can be. You've learned that. And sometimes that's been a tough lesson to learn. Because sometimes we want to be always the same. We want to be like each other. We sometimes are afraid of differences. And yet you've come to recognize that there are differences among you. And that to grow in those differences does not mean that you grow apart from each other. You have learned to respect the differences that are present in each of you, to cherish those differences, and to know that in respecting those differences, you can be close to each other. That even though you grow in separate ways, you don't grow apart. And for each of you, for every single one of you, it is the Lord God who stands next to you, who has blessed you and graced you with who you are, that in those differences the hand of God is found, the signature of God, if you will, in your life, that God has signed his great work of art, you. And he signed that by the differences he's placed within you. What we rejoice in today is that for every single one of us, the truth is that God stands with us. But most of all, we rejoice with you and pray that you may always, always, always remember that you never, ever stand alone. That the Lord who has loved you from the first moment of your existence is the Lord who stands with you every moment of your life. It's with that faith that we turn to the Lord God and we pray. Please stand.